Live via satellite, it's Rockline. The show where you interview the biggest stars in rock and roll. Rockline is brought to you by Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles on Fox. Hi, I'm Bob Coburn in Los Angeles. And tonight, from New York City, we welcome Jackson Browne. To speak with Jackson, call the toll-free Rock Line at 1-800-344-ROCK. That's 1-800-344-7625. One number toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. And now, let's welcome our guest. Jackson Browne is back with his first album of all new songs in 6 years or so, and he's here to tell us all about it in New York City. We welcome Jackson Browne. Jackson, how have you been?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's great to have you back, and great to hear some new music from you as well.
Thank you. Great to be back. It's great to be out here playing new songs. I've really been having a good time with it.
Yeah, you're out on tour and been playing some songs before the songs have even been available. How are they going down live?
Great. Great. I suddenly realized that the other night, that, and we were doing like 8 songs on the show, and the album's even out. So, but people were being received really well.
That's good. And yeah, well, you know, you do pretty well on your own. You have a great band with you too. It's the band that you recorded the album with too, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing too. It's great to have this stuff, these new songs, and have them being played by the people who played them on the record. But, you know, the way the album got made was exactly that way. I mean, it's the band I've been touring with and making records with for, I don't know, the last 15 years. So it's really a representation of, you know, who we are and what we think of and what we want to play. It's not like I just was able to get the players from this album to come out. I mean, it's more a product of having played together for the last 15 years.
Boy, that's a good thing when you know each other's moves intuitively.
Yeah, and I spend, the way we do it is more that we just explore ideas, explore music, and then I sort of edit. I grab my favorite stuff. But it's funny for the band because they will come back in months later and I'll play them something, and sometimes they look at it and go, when did we play this? Like they don't recognize it because I've changed it a certain amount. Either it's changed in various structural ways, you know? And they'll think to themselves, well, that's me playing, but I don't remember doing this. And in a way, it's great at the end of the whole thing because it comes together. They give me a lot of trust, you know, because they're not there. It's not like a band that's in there working on it from the beginning to the end. These guys are really in demand, and they play with a lot of other people. And I guess this is how I get around paying the massive retainers, you know, for a year that I spend in the studio where they stay on salary and twiddle their thumbs. Everybody works with everybody else that they want to, you know, so out of the best of both worlds.
I mentioned 6 years between albums. It's not like you've been inactive and taking an extended vacation or anything.
True.
You had the solo acoustic albums, too, that came out, and I know you've been doing a lot. Did time kind of slip away, though, at some point where you realized, whoa, 6 years have gone by here?
No. Actually, what happened is I started to make this album a couple years ago, and I got involved in a small project I was going to do it just before starting that, you know, this album, and it turned into a larger thing, and it was this choir that was recording my songs. They were called Fred Martin and the Levite Camp, and the album eventually, one thing led to another, and it just turned into a great project that we wanted to see through, but it was a little like making one of my own albums, because they were doing half of the album were my songs, and the other half were songs that they had written or had or were traditional gospel songs. So it was a gospel choir, and I call it that kind of advisedly because it's pretty hard to describe. It's not just straight up gospel, but it's they're really amazing singers. There was a youth, it was like a inner city youth choir. That's another way of trying to conjure up the image of what it was like. But to have them singing my songs was a really interesting process for me. It was a very growing experience. It was a little bit like making one of my albums, and at the same time, it was a little bit like producing an album for somebody, for a new artist that you really love and want to make sure that they learn everything they can learn about the process and bring out the best in them. So it turned into kind of like wiped my album out for about a year and a half while I did that. It does seem like an unlikely decision to make, but it was one of those things that just got rolling. And actually, the two singers that are on this new album are the solos from that choir. So in a way, it was like having period of development for the band. Kevin McCormick, who plays in my band and plays bass, and has in the past produced and co-produced albums of mine, was also the bass player on that record. So I don't know. To me, it's like it was one of three albums I made in the ensuing in the 6 years, you know, that you mentioned, by not having put out a record. And it was my, you know, like I said, it was one of my albums. So I mean, in that it was my songs.
And the two ladies you're talking about, Siobhan Morris and Alethea Mills, and they sing, they're tremendous, absolutely tremendous. I want to start with a song
that's
from Time to Conquer. I'm sorry.
Alethea, by the way. It's Alethea.
Alethea? Oh, okay, good. I appreciate the correction on that. Time to Conquer is the brand new album I want to start with, Off of Wonderland. Tell us about this before we listen.
Off of Wonderland. Wonderland Drive, you may know, is a street in Laurel Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about a place. It's about a time also when Laurel Canyon was sort of the center of the universe for me, and I went there to live, and I lived off of another street. I lived out in Ridpath, which was off of Kirkwood, but all these streets are sort of tributaries of the Laurel Canyon Boulevard. And for a time in the 60s and the early 70s, it was really a very vibrant scene. People spent a lot of time in each other's houses and would show up at each other's gigs there are a lot of bands, a lot of fledgling bands just starting out. And a lot of free music and a lot of, for one thing, and I don't know if your listeners can cast their minds back to a time when, you know, not only did everybody play records, vinyl records, but, you know, houses had, there were no Walkmans, there were no earbuds, there was basically, and certain houses had great sound systems. And guys would show up at your house because they wanted to play their music on your system.
Yep.
I mean, bands would come by and say, oh, we just cut this at Western. And we, you know, and there were a lot of engineers that lived in Laurel Canyon. So John Haney, the guy that recorded The Doors, lived down the street. Paul Rothchild, the producer of The Doors. And I mean, Graham Parsons and the Submarine Band were living down a couple doors down. And we lived in this house, and, you know, David Crosby and Stephen Stills would come by and play this new stuff they were working on. They were going to put a band together. And this is pre-CSN. And, you know, but people having a sound system and playing music and really loud, you know, was a big feature of our lives. And it wasn't just an automatic thing that everybody had nobody listened on little speakers. I mean, you know, it was a great time to be a musician and to be starting out. And the same time, it was sort of at exact same time that the Beatles. I mean, if I'm going to place that in musical history, the pantheon of my favorite albums would have been around the time of Big Pink for me. CSN, Big Pink, and of course the Beatles and the Stones. And so that's the context. That's where this album takes place. But it was also a time when everybody was really, there was a great deal of idealism, and people were. The song is really about that. It's about that and what has come of it. Actually, at this point, I've talked longer than the song actually is. It's a short song. I pride myself on having written a short song, because the songs of the day, singles, had to be under 3 minutes long.
This one's like 3:30 on the nose.
Yeah, well, it's that as it is, that's a lot longer than the songs. But like, I tried to record it in the form of like the 2 minute, 55-second single. If your song was longer than that, you'd have to say it was, you know, 2 minutes and 65 seconds or something like that. Because if it said three on it, they wouldn't play it.
Let's listen to it now. Off of Wonderland, Jackson Browne. You got the story, and now you got the song off of Wonderland from the brand new album Time to Conquer by Jackson Browne. Your calls for Jackson are coming next. You can speak with him toll-free at 1-800-344-ROCK. That's 1-800-344-7625. Your calls are coming next on Rockline. We'll play a little bit of this song going to the first time out, The Arms of Night on Rockline.
It's all you can
Boulevard. They set the young ones up at the Golden Cup. Jackson Browne, our guest tonight on Rockline. You can speak with him at 1-800-344-ROCK. We'll begin in Kansas City as we welcome Anne Marie. Hi, Anne Marie.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Hello, Jackson.
Hi, Anne Marie.
I just want to say your catalog is a gold mine. I get so much out of it. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks.
And my question, my two questions are sparked by your new song, Off of Wonderland. I'm curious if you ever got to meet John Lennon, and if there's somewhere here or abroad where there's that 60s mentality where people actually care about one another without some natural disaster happening first, you know, strangers saying hello, that kind of thing, and helping one another out.
Well, first, I never did meet John Lennon, you know, I think that we all feel as if we, I think everybody must feel as if they knew him or something. It was just the kind of gigantic influence on us all, you know, and the way we, and the esteem that we held him and all the Beatles. But we talk about an influential person, you know. One of the first, I mean, plenty of people sort of rose up, rags to riches sort of, you know, but the Beatles somehow brought their working class backgrounds with them and made sure that they were always sort of, it was always sort of prominently displayed. And this sort of, the cheeky kind of defiant attitude, you know, was very much a part of, you know, a product of the class system and the fact that they had sort of triumphed in a way, you know, over, sort of turned the tables on the rigid class structure of English society and really became, you know, so loved around the world. But they never really forgot that. They just never, you know, I have so many, I can't think of anybody before that who really didn't just ensconce themselves in wealth and completely forget where they came from. So I gotta say that is still a very worthy idea, and the idea that everybody, we're all, especially, you know, especially at this point in time, we're really all in the same boat. I mean, the whole planet is everybody loves music, everybody who wants peace, everybody who wants prosperity for themselves and their own countrymen, and for, you know, it's a worthy thing to remember. I mean, those people, I think John Lennon epitomizes that, and that's why I bring him up. Also, you know, there's a little foreshadowing in the song where, you know, I think that what brought this sort of era to a screeching halt in the 60s was the assassination of Martin Luther King and of Bobby Kennedy. And of course, to even mention John at the end of the song is to remind us that he also was killed. And yet, I mean, the only way to really pay tribute or to give give a place in your life to what he meant to us is to continue his beliefs and to continue putting into action, you know, the things that he believed in. If you think about him, I mean, there are documentary movies about the role of the FBI and sort of surveilling him and trying to make sure that he didn't become a more potent anti-war voice than he was. He was very potent, though, and I think in an era when many people were protesting the war in Vietnam, he found a way to do it and to promote nonviolence and the ideal of living in this world together, you know, with the bed in but they were very fertile. They had a very, very, you know, productive time. If you think about how long the Beatles were together, for about, I think it's either 8 or 9 years. And then after that, there were a few years where they, you know, while John was still alive and made albums. But really, it was a very, very close bunch of time. And in that same time, you had, the anti-war movement, and it really encompassed the same period. I mean, they were alive when JFK was alive and came to, when they first came to the United States. So a lot of these things happened all in the same time frame. But I do think that today, I think that, like I ask in the song, like, if you feel it today, because I think there is a feeling afoot today. And if you count on the media, the mainstream media, to tell you what's going on in the world, then you'll think that people only care about each other and work for peace or work for each other when there's some sort of natural disaster. But in fact, people are doing this constantly. I met somebody earlier this evening who had been in Darfur a week ago, and he was working in the camps there to aid refugees there, and was kicked out of the country for having the name Johan spelled as John on one of his documents and Johan on the other. He's Dutch. And they kicked him out of the country because they could on a technicality. But it just reminds you that there are people all over the world doing things like witness Peter Gabriel's organization or Doctors Without Borders. I mean, and Habitat for Humanity. If you begin adding up the organizations, you realize that the entire world, really, so many people around the world are doing things that they feel need to be done. And it's of an idealism that I think came to flower pretty much in the 60s and came, on the heels of World War II, but it's still alive. So I think it bears, staying with, And I gotta tell you, you can't really expect the nightly news to bring that story to you.
Well, I agree with that. We will play many new songs from Time the Conqueror. We'll play some older songs for you too, including this one, Doctor My Eyes, Jackson Browne. Doctor My Eyes, Jackson Browne. More of your calls coming with Jackson next. Toll free 1-800-344-ROCK. Bob Coburn and Rockline is brought to you by Fox. The fight to save the future is back. Don't miss an all new Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, Monday at 8, 7 Central, followed by Prison Break only on Fox. And go to rocklineradio.com and enter our Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles contest. You can win a trip to Los Angeles and a visit to the Rockline studios. We're back with more of Jackson Browne in just a moment on Rockline. For now, we're going down to Cuba.
Maybe I go through Mexico. Old Jesse Helms don't have to know. Anyway, all the allies of the USA travel.
Welcome back to Rockline. I'm Bob Coburn. Jackson Browne is our guest tonight. He's taking your calls at 1-800-344-ROCK. Rocklineradio.com is our website. The show will be streamed for 2 weeks after the fact, so you can listen to it. You can turn a friend on to it, whatever you want to do. It'll be up for 2 weeks at rocklineradio.com. You can see who's coming up on the show, too. Slash will be here next week, along with Tesla, Edgar Winter performing live, plugged in the Rockline studio, and Glenn Hughes performing live, plugged in the Rockline studio, with Chad Smith of the Chili Peppers on drums. That'll be a really good one there. Time now for the Rockline Encore question. It's brought to you by Radio Shack. Paul Kantner of the Starship for Jackson.
Jackson, this is Paul Kantner, San Francisco calling. My question is, what's with Crosby? I haven't talked to him for a little while, so I was wondering what he's actually doing and how he is and blah, blah, blah. Give me a clue when you get a chance.
There you go.
That's great. I think Paul's asked me about Crosby because last time I think I talked with Kantner, maybe the only time I talked with Kantner, we were at an intervention for Crosby at his house.
He mentioned that.
You know. Well, what's going on with Crosby is no longer in need of intervention. And they were touring this summer up until about a month ago or so. And a great record. I mean, a great tour. And as I said earlier, my friend Kevin McCormick was out with those guys. So Crosby lives, poor Crosby, lives in the most beautiful valley in America.
San Inez Valley,
and he's just surrounded by beauty, and he's got a fantastic wife and a son and a beautiful home life, and he's, you know, you ask him, hey, how you doing? He says, better than you. And he's usually very often he's right.
he is in a good place right now. I've known Jan for years. She's marvelous. Yeah. Django, his son, too. He's in a good place. Let's take some calls from Richland, Washington. Dennis, you're on Rockline with Jackson Brown.
Congratulations, Jackson, on your new studio production.
Thank you.
I want to let you know that as part of your fan base, we listened intently to many of the songs that you have produced and sincerely enjoy the relevancy they bring to our troubled lives from time to time. In light of today's political events, did you leave any songs of social consciousness in the studio that didn't quite make the final album cut, but perhaps you're going to stick them in your back pocket and resurrect them sometime in the future for us? And if so, could you share a little bit of what that might be?
Well, there's a song that I was trying to finish in time for this album, and we tracked it, and it's an incredible piece of music, I think. And but I didn't. What happened is I sort of unearthed a rather large topic, and I didn't actually think I was pretty sure I wouldn't have time to finish this song, and I just sort of let it go back to the sort of the sort of gestation stage. But it was called The Real America, and I didn't actually finish that many words for it, but a lot of these songs just started that way with just a very few words, and then it would track it, and it would turn into a song in pretty short order. But this one turns out to be a pretty deep subject because what it was inspired by was the point in the 2004 election when the election was won/stolen, whichever it is you really believe happened in 2004, by the prevailing Republican administration. And what they would say was, now you see, you didn't count on the real America rising up. And, but really, there's no denying that this country is pretty much split in half. I mean, whether you think it's, 48, 52, or 45, 55, or 50-50, or 51-49, this country is really pretty much in half.
And has been for a while.
And has been, and it's kind of dysfunctional in that way. But this song, well, for me, always writing a song is always kind of an exercise in exploring an idea. I kind of think that the real America are the people that that work, teach school, or that have jobs that deliver our goods and services to us, and who are, I mean, it turned out to be an exhaustive subject, but I really wanted to kind of refute the idea that the real America is the, gun rack, Bible thumping, evangelical religious right. And I think it's a song worth continuing to write, and I think that I will. I mean, I'll get back to it, but I just wasn't going to be able to get it done for this record. I had like a song on this album called, I have a song called Where Were You, and that turned into a big research project too, because it is about Hurricane Katrina and the what happened there, it's hard enough to write a song on a subject that is you feel strongly about, with it also being out, also without it being also a subject that a lot of people disagree about, and a lot of people have. So there were, I spent like night after night after night reading firsthand accounts and official timelines, and by official I mean, you know, like everything from the timeline presented by the Weather Service and two timelines by, you know, people concerned with like really analyzing exactly when the response was asked for and when it was given, or when it's just a lot. It's a lot, and I realize the more I went into the subject, the more I realized the more deserving of really looking at it in depth it was. And it's the same with The Real America. So there was another song too called, and it was starting to turn into a political song too. It was called, I'll think about it. Say, I argued with myself about it. I want to say the title right, because I argued with myself about this title for about 6 months, but, it was They Can't Bring You Down. They can't bring you down. They can't bring you down if you don't let them. But so I still have this chorus, but actually, like, who they is the big question, and that could take you a long time to figure out.
The nebulous they, absolutely. Well, you know, Jackson, we don't have the three-minute rule in Rockline for songs, and we have Where Were You from the new album, and let's listen to it now. By Jackson Browne, the album Time to Conquer, and that song Where Were You, or Where Were You? Several ways to say that. Where Are You? Yes, continuing. Let's take a time out. We'll come back with more calls for Jackson at 1-800-344-ROCK. Bob Coburn, BC, Rockline is brought to you by Fox. Fight to Save the Future is back. Don't miss an all-new Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, Monday at 8, 7 Central, followed by Prison Break, only on Fox. A little live nude cabaret for you here.
Us to that shore that only women hold, the promise of man would give them money, and man would give them gold, and shower them with promises, a luxury untold, and make their masses of creation the temples of our souls.
Welcome back to Rockline. I'm Bob Coburn. Our guest, Jackson Browne, on the show for you tonight. You can speak with Jackson toll-free at 1-800-344-ROCK. That's 1-800-344-7625. Jackson is currently out on tour. All the concert dates are jacksonbrowne.com. And this is one of the songs that you can almost be guaranteed that he'll play live, Running on Empty on Rockline. Jackson Brown, Running on Empty. I'm Bob Coburn. You're listening to Rockline. Jackson, our guest this evening, taking your calls at 1-800-344-ROCK. We'll head to Cherry Valley, Massachusetts, and welcome Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Jackson.
Hi, Jeannie.
I just want to tell you that it's such an honor to be speaking with you this evening. I've been a fan since the 70s. And my question tonight is, how did you hear about and feel about John McCain using your song in his political advertisement?
Yeah, well, I heard about it pretty much right away, and I was pretty amazed. I'm just amazed that they just take your song without observing any of the very well-established laws about that. I mean, this is an industry that goes on every day of the year, year in, year out, and they require you to get permission for that and require that you pay, and they just took it, and I think that they've done it before, so maybe they felt that I would respond in the same way other people had responded in the past, which was to get the lawyer to issue a statement of cease and desist and get them to stop. Meanwhile, they've used the song. So, I'm suing him and the Ohio Republican Party, and their response was, McCain campaign, their response was pretty much to say, hey, you're suing the wrong person. We didn't have anything to do with it. Which I think is an interesting stand to take. Like, that was an ad, on our behalf, but we didn't have anything to do with it. I think they do have something to do with it. I think, irregardless of what they may be saying, we'll find out in the court, And I think it's coming right up. I think they came, I think there was a, they asked for an extension, and of course we gave them an extension, but that's pretty much up now. They're going to find out right away. But I think, they have to pay me for that song. This is like if somebody came, to your town and said, well, you got a family business here, we're going to take that for the duration of the campaign. We're going to use your resources and do what you have, work for us until, the campaign's over, and then we'll give your stuff back. So, there are two things, the two laws that they broke. One is the laws protecting copyright, intellectual property, and the law making it illegal for them to take your endorsement and imply that you endorse a candidacy that you don't support. And, I'm not always a Democrat, but I'm never a Republican. This is never. I'm not for the war, and I'm not for drilling in Alaska. And, I'm really in opposition to just about everything that John McCain puts forth as his policies, things that he believes in. And, he's pro-nuke. I mean, it goes on and on. The list of things that I find, really in stark contrast to my beliefs go on and on. And this is my remedy under the laws of our country and, provided for in the laws of the land. I think that a presidential candidate should not only know the law, but, swear to uphold it. Not just sort of not go around it, and not try to be let off.
I just want to remind those
at the very least, and I mean it's the least. It's not, he owes me an apology.
I just want to remind those listening that when Ted Nugent is on, we let Ted go, and when Jackson's on, we let Jackson go. So that's the impartiality disclaimer from Rockline for you tonight. Let's talk to Phil in Roslyn, Pennsylvania. Welcome to Rockline, Phil.
Hi, Jackson. How you doing?
Hi, Phil.
I wanted to know what caused you to become more political in your music in the 1980s.
Well, I just became more political in my person. I think I began reading. For one thing, I was reading a lot of books about the Vietnam War, and it was about 20 years after the war had ended. So I was reading a number of books, and then I began reading a book about El Salvador called Salvador by Joan Didion. And the similarities in what was happening then and what was happening in the present, or by present, I mean when I was reading the books, were pretty striking, and I just found it coming into my my music in the same way that it came into my consciousness. I mean, I think that's the way the music works. You know, it's what you sort of in your work you embrace the issues that concern you in hopes to kind of get to the bottom of them and find out what you really believe to be the truth. So I, you know, in that way, the writing of the song is sort of part therapy and part, you know, pure self-expression. I kind of knew that it wasn't cool to lay political songs on people, or at least I sort of felt that was the feeling that most people had. I mean, I think that even though I was raised in a very politically aware and conscious sort of way, you know, and I grew up in the 60s and, you know, demonstrated for civil rights, I demonstrated against the war, but I still didn't, you know, I wasn't sure. I just sort of put one foot after the other, if you want to know. I just sort of thought, well, if I can't say this in a song, you know, let me try, you know. So that's how I began doing it, and I think to very mixed results, you know, for a while.
I want to play the title track of the brand new album by Jackson Browne, Time the Conqueror. To me, not political at all. This is just about mortality. Here it is. Conqueror, Jackson Browne. It's the title track of the new release. It came out yesterday. You can pick up a copy and get more information to it, jacksonbrowne.com. Rockline is brought to you by Fox, and the fight to save the future is back. Don't miss an all-new Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, Monday at 8, 7 Central, followed by Prison Break, only on Fox. We have a contest at rocklineradio.com. We'll fly you to Los Angeles, put you up, let you come into a Rockline show, and all kinds of other goodies there, too, at rocklineradio.com. You can see who's coming up on the show, and we stream all of our shows for 2 weeks so that you can listen again. And a lot of people listen because the it's late at night in some places and they can't stay up, so they listen the next day or the day after that. So it's a good thing for everybody. We're back in just a moment. We're going to play a little taste of a song from the brand new album, Giving That Heaven Away, is the name of this, going to this next time out. Something for every man. Sharon is in Granada Hills, California, and we welcome you to Rockline. Here's Jackson Browne for you, Sharon.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Jackson. It's great to
Hi,
speak
Sharon.
To you. First of all, I want to congratulate you. The new CD is just great, as is all your
Thank
stuff,
you.
Basically. And early happy birthday for your milestone coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's time isn't conquering you, apparently. But... I was wondering, you have been mentoring a lot of younger people, up-and-coming musicians, Fred Martin in the Levite Camp, who you took the wonderful two girls with on your album and your tour, Joe Raphael, who's on your label, and your itinerary for the past few years. You know, I look at your website, and I get tired between the solo acoustic and this. Do you plan to maybe stick around and do more mentoring and producing, or keep touring at this level, or maybe slow down and get that cottage with the garden by the sea?
That's actually a big that's a big lure all the time, you know, actually just going spending some time not working. But I, you know, I've got this great place by the ocean, and I don't get there very often. I've also got a great studio to work in, and but the mentoring thing is an interesting, you know, idea, and I think that when you're talking about mentoring other artists, it's true, I did sort of mentor the girls that are singing on this album when they were members. They were the soloists in the choir that I made an album of, and they did my songs. So, It was, in the end, I'm the one that got mentored, you know? I mean, I'm singing better, I'm singing differently, I feel like it's a great, it's a two-way street, and so, I mean, I plan to make my own albums, you know, just work on my own stuff in the next, like, 2 or 3 years. I think that's what I'm having a lot of fun doing this, and this album was exciting for me to do because it happened, came together all at once. I mean, it may have been songs that I was developing for a while, but when it all started happening, it was exhilarating. So I plan to do that and continue to sort of maybe, you know, like place that idea of reading all the books that I bought, or, you know, or being around when the surf hits, you know. I put that off in the future a little ways.
It is amazing how the students teach the teacher.
Yeah.
It happens in almost every situation. Sharon, that's a really good call. Thanks for joining us tonight. And I know the place you're talking about, and I think you're off the grid now, right?
I've been off the grid there for like 22 or 23 years.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's, you know.
I built this place in about 1982. Was when it was finished, and it was always off the grid, and it's still off the grid, and it's even, I sort of made it bigger about 10 years ago so that it was sort of, it was possible to be there with more people, but it's a very rural place, and it's surrounded by just, you know, it's wild, you know, really, and a lot of animals up there. There are bear, and there are, you know, wild pigs and deer and stuff. The being off the grid is, I would like to take, there's some houses that I grew up, one that I grew up in that my grandfather built, and the one next door that I could kind of make into a sort of off the grid complex. It's right in the heart of LA. I'd like to do that.
You know what, the thing about you, and I know, last time you were here, I know what kind of car you were driving and all that, you know, the hybrid, and you know, you back up what you say with your lifestyle, and I commend you for that. I do want to get this song on the air tonight, though. This is an important song from the brand new album, Time the Conqueror. It's The Drums of War by Jackson Browne on Rockline. Jackson Browne, the brand new album is Time the Conqueror. It's in stores and online now. We have to take a brief time out. We'll come back with Jackson in just a moment. We're not done, so stay with us. You're listening to Rockline, and this is Just Say Yeah.
Not really dating, we were relating, we were friends. It's hard to say we're relating, we saw, and we're loved.
Back to Rockline for America. Jackson and I off the air were talking about Gary Myrick earlier in the show. Neither of us know what happened to him. Played guitar in that. Thanks for listening, for calling to our affiliate stations. Also, Michael Azar. Mike, you are the best. At MJI Studios in New York City. To Megan Helsel. To John Langenstein. Donald Miller. Diana Cohen. To Cree Clover Miller. And Michael Jensen, of course. And to you, Jackson. I have a final question for you. If you win the lawsuit with John McCain, and I think it's for $75,000, what would you do with the money? We have about 50. What would you do with the money?
The suit's for a lot more than that.
It's for a lot more than that?
That's the minimum to get into to certain kind of proceedings. And
okay.
I have to say that it was at least for that amount.
So in 10 seconds, where would the money go?
I have a very good idea of some inner city programs, music programs, and bringing resources to kids who otherwise wouldn't get them. That I have that in mind. As well as, I've got a number of favorite charities, so
fantastic.
I'm certainly going to do that with the money.
Thanks for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me.
You're always welcome. I'm BC, and I'll be seeing you. Rockline has been brought to you by Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles on Fox. Rockline is produced by Greg Jernigan and mixed by Jimmy Rash. Thanks to Chris Martin and David Brown for their invaluable contributions. And to Jamie Sutton and Valley Sound Studios, the home of Rockline. I'm Bob Coburn, and I'll be seeing you.